Well, hello and welcome back to the Archaeology News Weekly. I am, belatedly, David Connolly. I bet you wondered what exactly had happened to us. Well, fear not. Diego from Stone Pages was away in Sardinia, looking at all things prehistoric, of course. And although I don't want to say too much, shall we say, it will be worth tuning in next week for, well, I think I've already said too much. Just come back next week. Anyway, it's good to be back, and here is a brief roundup of what's been going on out there when we've been away. But before that, let's of course get the usual credits in. This news is brought to you between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources, and all the stories have been collected from various sources. To view the details in each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. 9 megalithic sites in England have been linked to death rituals. Climate change did not pose challenges for the first Americans, and over 1,000 prehistoric sites have been found on Google Street View. Bronze Age finds continue to turn up at Guernsey Airport, and Avebury human remains will stay in the local museum, so say English Heritage. A large Neolithic settlement has been unearthed in Syria, and we delve into the fabulous theory that religious belief may have originated in Paleolithic art. Earlier known human-made structure has been discovered, and Neanderthals and modern humans in Spain are explored further. Well, their origins are anyway. 9 megalithic sites in a remote part of Dartmoor in England share features in common with Stonehenge and may shed light on the meaning behind these prehistoric stone monuments, according to a report in the latest issue of British Archaeology. The Dartmoor megaliths, which were recently C14 dated to around 3,500 BCE, could indeed predate Stonehenge. But both sites feature large standing stones that are aligned to mark the rising of the midsummer sun and the setting of the midwinter sun. Yet, another Dartmoor stone monument called Drizzlecombe shares the same orientation. The Dartmoor megaliths, described in a separate study in the current issue of the journal Antiquity, are now lying flat since the stones in a row fell or were pushed over. The toppling, however, was fortuitous, since the peat above and below the stones permitted the dating, which is extremely rare for such monuments. A ditched barrow, which is a big mound of earth and stones, exists very close to the cut hill stones, providing further evidence that burials and possibly death-related rituals might have taken place there. At least 81 stone monuments have so far been discovered nearby, with cut hills being amongst the largest at over 705 feet in length. Don't you just love it? All you've got to do is find a single barrow and you've got death rituals going on all over the place. It's very Indiana Jones. Go for it, I say. Paleo-Indian groups have occupied North America throughout the Younger Dryas interval, which saw a rapid return to glacial conditions approximately 11,000 years ago. Until now, it had been assumed that cooling temperatures and their impact on communities posed significant adaptive challenges to these groups. David Meltzer from the Southern Methodist University in Dallas, USA, and Vance Holliday from the University of Arizona in Tucson suggest otherwise in their review of climatic and environmental records from this time period on continental North America. From their analysis, they conclude that on the Great Plains and in the Rocky Mountains, conditions were in reality less extreme and therefore may not have been measurably adding to the challenge that routinely faced Paleo-Indians, who during this interval successfully dispersed across the diverse habitats of late glacial North America. Meltzer and Holliday question whether the impact of cooling on Pleistocene North Americans was actually that pronounced or even widespread, and if it was, whether it was similarly abrupt and severe and in the same direction across the whole of North America. Their comprehensive report and review of the climate and environment of North America during that time and its possible impact suggests that the Younger Dryas Age cooling was not as sudden, extensive or severe as has previously been suggested. And the notion that the conditions may have taken the Paleo-Indians by surprise is indeed questionable. The authors conclude, all things considered, it is likely that across most of North America, south of the retreating ice sheets, Paleo-Indians were not constantly scrambling to keep up with the Younger Dryas Age climate changes. After all, adapting to changing climatic and environmental conditions was nothing new to them. It's what they did. Well, you can't say truer than that. Following the recent expansion of Google Street View to most of UK's roads, though I do happen to notice that it's managed to miss me out, thank you very much, a website called the Megalithic Portal has created a comprehensive map of prehistoric and ancient sites, all found on Street View service. Andy Burnham, the founder of the Megalithic Portal, explained, "I realised we could use our web resource to pinpoint ancient stones, barrows and other sites on Google Street View. So he launched a competition to see who could find the most sites. In just 4 weeks, amateur archaeologists have found over 1,000 ancient sites visible from the roadside, including 550 sites in England and over 300 jointly in Wales and Scotland. Amanda Goff from Cardiff was one of the volunteers who said this really gives you an idea of just how many ancient sites are still out there and visible. Many people probably don't realise that they're driving or walking past ancient monuments on a regular basis. It's amazing to think that out there, beside our busy roads, is thousands of years of history just waiting to be discovered. And indeed, you can discover it as well. And why not pop along to Megalithic Portal's Street View Discoveries? You'll find that at www.megalithic.co.uk /Street View. It is great fun. With the planned development of Guernsey's runway surveying around the airport uncovered, With the planned development of Guernsey's runway surveying around the airport uncovered the remains of Bronze Age settlement there in 2008. Archaeological excavation began on the site in March 2009 and soon uncovered the remains of what appeared to be a cremation pit. By March 2010, this picture of a settlement, however, had developed further. Archaeology officer Philip De Jersey said that he thinks that this was used as for some form of industrial activity. Philip explained that the site appeared to date from around 1.5 to 2000 BCE, but did not appear to feature any kind of residential settlement. As for the plans for the airport development, De Jersey explained that the focus of the research had moved as well and led them to begin excavating the next field close to the end of the airport. Even the minor excavation completed by March 2010 on the newer site, Bronze Age pottery and flint has been found, and De Jersey said that it may turn out to be more of an occupation site itself. Though the dig has not turned up has turned up several interesting finds, it's highly unlikely that anything will be found to stop the airport development going ahead. Philip said, "I don't think we're going to find another Stonehenge." Well, you've just jinxed it there. Just wait until next week. And now one with a personal interest for myself as well, because the Badger site was a couple of years back overrun by Druids. Not something that you forget in a hurry. English Heritage have, after careful consideration of evidence and extensive consultation, decided that the prehistoric human remains in the Alexander Keeler Museum in Avebury should be kept in the museum for the benefit of public access and understanding. These Neolithic human remains were excavated in the Avebury area by Alexander Keeler between 1929 and 1935. In 2006, Paul Davis of the Council of the British Druid Orders requested their reburial. English Heritage and the National Trust followed the recently published DCMS process in considering the request and went out to public consultation in 2009 on a draft report which set out the evidence and differing opinions. English Heritage and the National Trust have now published a report on the results of this consultation and a second report on the results of the public opinion survey. Their summary report concludes that the request should be refused for four main reasons. The benefit to future understanding likely to result from not reburying the remains far outweighs the harm likely to result from not reburying them. It does not meet the criteria set out by the DCMS for considering such requests, and not reburying the remains is the more reversible option. The public generally support the retention of prehistoric human remains in museums as well, and their inclusion in museum displays to increase understanding. So, well, that's the end of the story. Only time will tell. Tal Bocrus is an example of the first agricultural village built according to the architectural style of the Stone Age in Deir ez-Zor, 432 kilometres northeast of Damascus in Syria. The site is the only archaeological discovery in the Middle Euphrates region, which belongs to this expanding phase of the Neolithic. The adjacent houses built alongside the two sides of the village yard show the architectural style of that period. Archaeologist Yarub al-Abdullah said that the number of the houses excavated so far has reached 188. Each house includes three rooms built of mud brick, while the floors and walls were painted with mud or plaster. Some walls were decorated with colourful paintings representing ducks and geese. The remains of charred plants were found in plaster-built ventilated storage structures, and studies showed that barley used to grow naturally at the site before them, and from this the local inhabitants developed agriculture and started to sow grain and lentils itself. Two sculptures of naked women and a man's head made of baked mud were the most important discoveries at the site. Two naked women and a man's head? There's a joke there. I just won't go there. For years, anthropologists, archaeologists, and historians of art understood the earliest artistic manifestations as purely aesthetic and decorative motifs. Eduardo Palacio Parachez, researcher at the University of Cantabria, now reveals the origins of a theory that lasts to our day. Eduardo explains that in his new study, those who started to develop the idea that the art of primitive people was linked somehow with beliefs of a symbolic religious nature were anthropologists. The idea appeared at the end of the 19th and beginning of the 20th centuries, and up until then, Paleolithic art had been interpreted as simple aesthetic and decorative expression. Initially, scientists saw this art as a way that the people of the Paleolithic spent their free time sculpting figurines or decorating their tools. His investigation reveals the reasons for the move from this recreational decorative interpretation of Paleolithic art to different ones of a religious and symbolic nature. The history of the discovery and study of this art is long and complex. On one hand, Paleolithic art is composed of so-called portable art, pieces of stone and horn and bone sculpted and engraved that are included within the archaeological deposit. These discoveries that emerge into the scientific community from about 1864 are dated to the same period as the rest of the archaeological material, and so therefore there's practically no doubt of their Paleolithic origin. The problem came years later with the discovery of the paintings in the cave of Altamira in 1879, which were related by the Spanish geologist Villanova and Piera at a scientific conference held in Lisbon in 1880. This art composed of paintings and engravings on the walls and ceilings of the cave and was not included within the archaeological deposits, so it was unknown if it was so old. The international scientific community ignored its Paleolithic origin for 20 years, and these studies went unnoticed. They were heard, but little attention was paid to them because the format of the paintings was just too spectacular and too perfect due to their naturalistic nature. It was understood that such complex art could not have been done by primitive man, something that did not occur with portable art. Between 1880 and 1900, the conception of art changed in Western society. Scientists start to consider other possibilities, and at this time, the conception of the origins and the nature of art that the Westerners and scientists had at this time began to be redefined. From then on, Paleolithic art was reinterpreted in a symbolic religious key, at the same time when the age of Paretio art was accepted. Well, I hope that's clear. But if you want to learn more about this, and I would highly recommend that you do, because it's a fascinating subject, highly theoretical, but highly interesting as well, I would recommend the book that I'm reading just now called The Mind in the Cave by David Lewis Williams. And of course, we're on the case as well with the story of my own humble beginnings 30 years ago, mired in a controversial rock art, shall we say, issue. Read all about it in one of two articles in Past Horizons magazine, which will be coming out in May. Anyway, back to the news. A stone wall built 23,000 years ago was found in the Theopetra caves near Kalambak in Greece. Optically stimulated luminescence, testing on quartz grains in the stones, confirmed that it was constructed during the coldest period of the last ice age. The wall blocked two-thirds of the cave entrance and may have been used to protect the cave inhabitants from cold winds. The structure gives archaeologists insight into the technological development of humans at that time. The cave was indeed continuously inhabited for 45,000 years, from the Middle Paleolithic, around about 50,000 years ago, to the Neolithic, only 5,000 years ago. I have to say, this 23,000-year-old wall looks a bit like one that I built the other week. Maybe I am that bad. Or good. And finally, new research undertaken by the Centre of Prehistoric Archaeological Heritage Studies at the Universitat Autonoma de Barcelona supports the view that modern humans and Neanderthals may have occupied the same sites at different times and places. The Middle-Upper Paleolithic Transition, the time when Neanderthals died out, between 34 to 32,000 years ago. The team excavated at Cova Gran, a site of 2,500 square metres in the southeast Pyrenees in Catalonia in Spain, where they uncovered many well-preserved materials, including tools from both the Middle, 300,000 to about 30,000 years ago, and Upper Paleolithic, which is around about 40,000 to 10,000 years ago. Different tool-making techniques suggested that different species made the tools, and carbon-14 dating showed the area was inhabited by the different species at different times between 34 to 32,000 years ago. Although inhabiting Cova Gran at different times, the Neanderthals and modern humans had very similar lifestyles, hunting, gathering, making tools and using fire. However, perforated snail shells found at the site might indicate that modern humans had an increased cognitive capacity, for which there is as yet no evidence during the Middle Paleolithic, and also that they travelled widely and had social networks, through which such items could be shared. This research supports similar findings from other excavations at sites around Europe, that modern humans replaced Neanderthals between 40 to 30,000 years ago, and that the two species did not interact. Well, this is one of the mysteries of archaeology I expect to be answered actually in the next decade, is what exactly happened to the Neanderthals in Europe. And of course, when they've got that one sorted out, we can work out what on earth has happened to the visitor centre at Stonehenge. Oop, stop there. Anyway, welcome back, and don't forget to tune in next week, where I'll have a little bit more preparation. I seem to be a bit rusty for some strange reason. Until then, if you would like to keep up with archaeology, why not have a look at the Past Horizons magazine, which you can find at www.pasthorizons.com/magazine. Have a look at some of the archaeological opportunities which are out there, or maybe just buy yourself a brand new trowel. Anyway, I'll also remind you about Badger, which continues on giving you heritage and archaeological employment opportunities, and more can always be found at Stonepages, news.stonepages.com. Thanks for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you'll be able to return again to us next week.